Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Powerful worship team. Y'all show the worship team some love one more time. I have some family in the building. I want to give a shout out to Reverend Lazar. I call him Kenny. My cousin Kenny, can you wave your hand back there real quick? Amen. And my lovely wife, Sherelle, as well. Always good to have her. Can y'all show her some love? Well, I'm no stranger to being here with you all. I don't know if there's a picture of my family as well, if it is up there. Great. So this is my lovely family. As you can see, Sherelle, if you're sitting in the back, you couldn't see her. She's worth seeing. Much Harry Moore. I love her. And my daughter, Chloe, who's 5, my son, Chip, Christopher Jr., who is 3. They are part of our ministry, man. They are part of our ministry team. As a family, we believe that God has called us to be witnesses to the wonderful works of God. And we're so grateful to be able to share in purpose and life with our family. And so you might see them running around afterwards with Josiah and Aubrey and Joshua. So if you see them, just make sure they don't run in the street. That's my only thing. Chloe's not going to run in the street. Chip, he's something about boys. They're just different. They just push the envelope. Just jump off stuff face first. Yeah. Anyway. Corey and Marlena, it's good to see y'all too. Yeah. I want to help celebrate what God is doing here at the Bridge. And I don't want to get too much into my message, but the fact that it's 4 years, I remember being at the first service, and it's not too many times that I would miss a service in a church service at our church to be somewhere else. But on the kickoff, I knew there was nowhere else for me to be, because it's like there's a part of me that was launching into another level of purpose as the Bridge launched. And as you guys have grown spiritually and physically, numerically, even location after location, I've been to every location and celebrated with you guys. There's one thing, and I'm going to repeat this later on. They say sometimes if it's repeated twice, it's fairly important. Do not get so used to what God is doing that you forget that it's a miracle. Yeah. Yeah. Don't forget that what you're sitting in is a miracle. The building, the ministry, it's a miracle. And so can we give God a praise for the miracle of the Bridge Church? Come on. Let's just celebrate. Come on. We could pause just to celebrate that right there. We're grateful for that. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here it is. I'm gonna preach this word from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 29 is going to be the emphasis of what I'm going to be preaching from. But I'm going to cover a little bit more in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 29. And I don't know, do you guys stand and read scripture here? You guys stood enough, but out of reverence, and because I'm a guest, and get you some calisthenics, can y'all rise with me? I believe participation is better than observation. You don't have to read it all with me. You can read it silently if you so desire, but I think it's something about a standing in attention for the word of God. Here we go. It says in verse 26 out of the New Living Translation, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook. Everybody say shook. Shook. It shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake. Everybody say shake. Shake. Not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken. Everybody say shaken. Shake. And removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Everybody say unshakable. Keep going. Here we go. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is, come on, everybody. Unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Verse 29, for our God is a devouring or consuming fire. I want to go back to verse 27 just for a second. That's going to be an emphasis. I'm sorry. Verse 28. You guys are quick. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is what? Today, my title, topic, of subject of focus this morning will be living the unshakable life. Living the unshakable life. Can you go ahead and look at your neighbor and tell them, be unshakable. Be unshakable. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn to the other one and shake them and say, be unshakable. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The unshakable life. Today, in order for us to live the unshakable life, we will see that we must have unshakable faith. Everybody shout faith. We must have unshakable gratitude. We also must have unshakable worship. Faith, gratitude, and worship. With that being said, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity to be in this space, in this place, not just in the physical place, but Lord, we believe that this is a spiritual moment, God. And so, God, as we come to this moment, Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts that could not have been done anywhere else. Do something in this place that retail therapy couldn't handle. Do something in this place that medication and drugs and alcohol and thrills and chills could not handle, Lord. Lord, do something in this place that only you can get the credit and the glory for. Father, we believe you brought us here as a divine appointment. So we don't come in just to check in. We come in here to be checked out, to be transformed. And Lord, do a work in our hearts that we might look more like you when we leave. Lord, I believe today, Lord, that there is breakthrough, that there is freedom, that there is healing, that there is salvation, that there's an anointing in this building, in this space, Lord, that we might be transformed. So God, do a work, Lord. God, I pray even as I preach, Lord, that no flesh your glory in your presence, Lord. If people don't remember who Chris Johnson is, may they remember that Christ Jesus is their Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Living the unshakable life. One, as the name of the church, anybody know the name of this church? The Bridge. Awesome. I think it's very important for us to understand that. And here's the thing, and maybe I might be the only one, but nobody likes shaky bridges. Come on. Because normally, the fact that it's a bridge, that means that it's over something that's high, something that you cannot drive on or walk on. So the bridge is supposed to keep you stable over unstable situations. Man, that blessed me. And when you look at that, being on a shaky bridge, that gives you a level of insecurity and uncertainty about your very existence. It's amazing. Some people are afraid to drive over the James River Bridge to this day. It's a 5-mile bridge, and it's a lot of water under it. For me, I cannot swim. I swim like a rock. And when I drive over there, I'm driving by faith. I'm so glad that that bridge is not shaking. But there is a shaky bridge in another country, and people go on and they walk on. It's like a thrill. See, certain things I don't need to experience. It's better on YouTube. But when you're on something that is shaking, that should not be shaking, it messes with your equilibrium. It messes with your entire perspective of existence and life in itself. Now, here's the thing. Not all of us are walking on shaky things. Some of us are trying to be shook, similar to what Havoc and Prodigy said, Mobb Deep, you shook. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Anyway, sorry, I have flashbacks. It's... I have hood moments. And some of us, though, we are in the midst of shaking situations. When you talk about shaking situations, there are situations that's trying to make you shaky. In other words, some of us, we have shaky health. Some of us, when we talk about shaky, we talk about being unstable. Some of us have shaky finances, shaky relationships. And when shaky relationships, that's the thing. When you talk about shaky relationships, man, that'll mess you up. You could be married. You could be booed up. Y'all can have the Facebook status, Instagram, everything. Y'all even can share names on Facebook. That's a cool new thing people do. They'll just be like Chris and Sherelle Johnson. So you don't really know who posting or who. Y'all ever seen it? Anyway. But when you're in a shaky relationship, it'll mess you up. You don't know if you walk in and you're getting accepted or you're going to get hit with a bomb. You just don't know. I don't know if y'all ever been in that situation. You come in, you're about to go for a hug, they're pulling out a gun, and you're like, yo, all I wanted was pizza for dinner. When you're in shaky relationships, it messes with your whole idea of your worth. It messes with your whole idea of who you are and what you're supposed to do. Some of us, like I said, you might be dealing with shaky health. I remember when I went to, it was a couple of years ago, I went to the doctor. I believe I was about 30 or 32 or something like that. And the way the doctor talked to me, he talked to me like I was about to die at 33. He was like, look, you're fat, you're out of shape, you got to do something about it. And that messed with me, man. I remember I went home and I laid in the bed and it messed with me to a point where I literally pressed the Lord. I'm about to fall asleep. I hope I wake up. Now, at 32 years old, active, playing sports, working out, trying to eat right, and then for your body still not to be right, there is something that messes with you. I'm beginning to hold my children a little bit deeper. I'm just hoping, Lord, I hope that my blood pressure doesn't spike or I have a stroke. And man, being in shaky situations will mess with you. I remember also having shaky finances, and some of y'all can agree with this. I know the old school church said, your money looking funny. And even in that, but look, I used to be like, man, why are you always talking about that? Until I got into that, I was like, oh, snap. Boy, it's a lot of stuff that got to go out, and it's a little bit that's coming in. And I'm telling you, man, I remember one time, you know, we done budget, we done XL, we done took Financial Peace, Dave Ramsey and everything. We're trying to save up for our emergency fund. We are trying to be good stewards, paying our tithes faithfully, 10%. And when it got real bad, we said, Lord, we're going to put another 1% on it. We just need you to open up the floodgates. Maybe it's a drought because I ain't got no flood. Anyway, I remember looking at my wife. I said, babe, I don't even know what else to do. Maybe we just don't have enough. Shaky situations. But the interesting thing about shaky situations is that it pushes you not to depend on anything else except for God. You can't depend on your health. Can't depend on your bank account. You can't depend on your job. You can't depend on your spouse. You can't depend on your children. It puts you in a place where you recognize the only thing I can do in the midst of a shaky situation is find the unshakable God. And what you'll find is that while there are so many things around us that's constantly pressing in on us, trying to make us lose our stability and our sanity and our ability to be able to walk in purpose and life, that there are biblical commands and encouragement that tells us be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, stand. And after you've done everything you can do, do what? Stand. And while everything around you is trying to get you to fall, trying to get you to buckle, there's a strength that Scripture is telling us to find that cannot be found in this world, that cannot be taken away by this world, that only can be found in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Everything else is sinking sand. When I look at this moment and as I read in the book of Hebrews, in the entire book, it's pushing us to this exhortation that's found in Hebrews chapter 12. And when you look at the exhortation, it's saying that we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. When I hear that, I'm like, why is he went through all of this theology. He went through all of this theology in Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, gave us the hall of fame of faith. Talking about these people who knew that faith was the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, that knew that without faith it's impossible to please God. And they're telling us to have faith even in situations where our faith seems to be on E. He's saying, now strengthen your weakened hands, strengthen your weakened legs, and stand, because what you're believing in is something that's not shaking. Here's the thing, I was thinking about this, I was praying about it last night, and I love when God continues to give things, because as I was looking at this, I was like, it's amazing how situations and life continues to try to get us to be shaky, try to get us to be unstable, try to get us to be at a place where we just don't know if we're coming or going. Every time we take 5 steps forward, we get knocked 25 steps backwards. I know I exaggerated it. But it's like we get in these moments, and I recognize it seems like oftentimes we are submitted to what the world offers us. Oftentimes we are only living under the strain of what society gives us, as if society is dealing the deck of cards that we're supposed to live with. But as I think about this, creation, society, culture, none of these things are actually supposed to shake us. Yeah. Matter of fact, because when you look at us, we around shaky politics, shaky morality, shaky ethics, shaky race relations. You can look, we got shaky, things are shaking. It is unstable. At any given moment, when you turn on CNN, you don't know if a country just got blew up or somebody else who's in a prominent position that's supposed to be marked by integrity has done something unintegral. You just don't know. Am I in the room? Man, we used to be able to hear when it talked about politics. It used to be about politics. But now's about all this other stuff. We live an hour away from Charlottesville, and who would have ever known that the race relations would be that tense? I pastor a multi-ethnic church. We have about 55% Caucasian and about 30-some-odd percent that's African-American, and then the others are Hispanic, Asian, and African descent. And so us seeing that, we were like, how is it? We're here in Wakanda in Divine Unity Community Church. It's like everything is cool. It seems like everything is right. But just an hour down the road, you got people driving through a crowd full speed without the thought of somebody else's life. How is it that can happen? We're in the midst of shaky times. We're in the midst of shaky times, man, where any president that comes into office, this is amazing. Obama was an antichrist. Trump, he's like, he missing his hood. It's just like we go extreme, right? Hillary working for the Russians. It's like, it's crazy. I'm not a candidate. I'm not telling you go red, blue, blood, crip, bang, deuce, here. You know, I'm not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? That's not, but isn't it crazy the same issues we have on the block are the same issues we have on Capitol Hill? They pimping on the block, they pimping on the hill, right? They getting high on the block, they getting high on the hill. They repping colors here, they repping colors there, right? And it's like, where do we find refuge? Where do we find some level of stability that when my children are watching TV, at what point do I recognize that I have to watch it with them all the time because the messaging is contrary to the creation of God? So everything around us is telling us, you shook up. We messed up from the flow up, toe up from the floor. But let me remind you of something. You were not created to adapt to the situation. You were not created to simply be a thermometer and reflect the situation. You were not created to look at creation and tell creation, whatever you want to do, I'll do. Because when God created us, he created us in his image. And what he said was, I want you to rule and subdue. I want you not to be shaking. I want you to be a shaker. Which you should walk in my heavenly authority. And when you recognize how you were created, oh, you'll walk with a different swagger. You'll be dripping with heaven. Y'all missed it. Like you'll just be dripping with heaven, because everywhere you go, you recognize God has called you to be a revealer of his authority, to be a revealer of who he is. So Hebrews chapter 12, we come and it starts off with the exhortation. Set aside every sin and weight that easily besets you, that entangles you, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's the beginning, and at the end is what we read. And at the end, he's saying, this is why you set your eyes on Jesus, because while there's going to be a shaking that happens, but now you're receiving an unshakable. Everybody say unshakable. You're receiving an unshakable kingdom. Unshakable faith is when you believe beyond circumstance. Unshakable faith means when you have got a snapshot of heaven and you're willing to live according to that snapshot of heaven, even here on earth. I know that was a little deep and a little eschatological for a Sunday morning, but check this. The good news, family, is that Jesus came once and offered us salvation. Amen? The good news keeps on going. He's coming back again. Yeah, I clap there. Because for a long time, the churches I grew up in, they used to sing songs about one great morning, I'll fly away. They used to talk about one day there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more pain. And I didn't know why they were talking about it like that. And I'm like, why are we always trying to escape? Until I start feeling the pain of the earth. And then more than the pain, when I start understanding the promise of God. The promise of God is that all things are going to work together for the good for those who love him and called according to his purpose. The promise of God is that everything we see here is only warming us up, that whatever you suffer in here, Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. While outwardly we are perishing, inwardly we're being renewed. And when Jesus returns, and I was reading in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 9, when Jesus returns, for those who believe, he's not returning to deal with your sin. And oftentimes we think when Jesus comes back, it's going to be that thing like, I got to get myself together. No, he's not coming back to deal with your sin. He's coming back to deliver a promise. Yep. See, that's the good part, Pastor Atwood, because check this out. We think that he's coming back as judge. Well, he is going to judge, but for those who believe, he's coming back to receive you because you already put your faith in him. And so you get the joy of salvation. So when he comes back, it's going to be more like Christmas morning. We think about like Armageddon, and the people that don't believe, now look, they're going to have to deal with some fire and brimstone. Now, I just want to put that out there. Like, I tell people all the time when I'm talking with folks, like, man, I don't really believe, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know why people start, you know, I don't really believe that, you know, God, like, I mean, I believe him, but you don't know what you don't believe. How about this? Me living according to my Christian ethics does not rob me of anything right now. Actually, it makes my life better. My wife faithful, I'm faithful. We know where each other at. We know where our money at. We good. You, however, my friend, you living like hell right now just to go there too. That's bad. Ain't no need to get a double portion. Ain't no need. There is no need. Warm yourself up for heaven. All right. And so, listen. I want to point this out because, listen, in the text, right, there's this parallel that helps us see the difference of those who believe and those who have found Jesus and those who don't. And they make this parallel in Hebrews chapter 12 between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, okay? These two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. So I want to read it to you. I know I want to inspire you, but I want to give you some information because I can inspire you, but I want you to be able to go back and read this. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you get to something that you didn't understand and you just act like that page didn't exist? Come on, y'all. You're right? Come on. I know you just read it like, where that text at? I can do all things. That's my devotional this morning. We start finding the promises of Jesus. Where? Amen. So here in Hebrews chapter 12, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, there's this parallel in verses 18 through 24. Now, in 18 through 24, he says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. What type of situation would you be in that you are begging God to stop speaking, to the point God even commanded him? Because what he's talking about is what happened in Exodus chapter 19, that when God began to speak, he told them, if even an animal touches this mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I'm terrified and trembling. Moses, he knew who God was, right? God showed up to him. But when God, I'm gonna get back to it. See, my dad, he raised me with the fear of like a good reverential fear. When he raised his voice, you know, you gonna move, right? You know, he still got it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm 35. Chris, huh? What'd you say, you wash the dishes? It's just, right? See, there was a moment, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And some people say in the hands of an angry God. What's happening? Why would they beg God to stop speaking? Why was them coming to Mount Sinai, which is where Moses got the Ten Commandments at one point, why would they beg God to stop speaking? Somebody shout, why? I'm glad you asked. What we see at Mount Sinai was people approaching God only through the law of Moses, which means they only had one day a year, the Day of Atonement, where their bodies were purified, but their souls remained in sin. Now, I know that's a lie, but you got to understand the totality of salvation. See, here's the thing. The blood of bulls and goats only purified what they did, but not who they were. Okay, let me say that again. See, the blood of bulls and goats, the Day of Atonement, only purified what they did. That means once a year, it was like tax season. You know, people get their tax refunds. Right, you know, they get all excited about new shoes. clothes, cars, and all. But anyway, like the Day of Atonement, people would say, okay, we're sacrificing, and now that was the day. Now, here's the thing. The only mediator, the only person between them and God, you have a holy God and a sinful people, was this man Moses, and Moses was as sinful as they were. So this means when God looked at them, he saw all of their sin. So when he's speaking, he raised his voice. And when he raised his voice, they recognize he gonna kill us. Why? The wages of sin is death, and all I got is sin. So what they did, they were so afraid, because this is the same God. You got to understand these children of Israel. This is the same God that they saw him. They saw him wreck Egypt with the 10 plagues. They saw him turn the river into blood. They saw him part the Red Sea and draw the whole army. They know this God is powerful. And they were like, man, we're on the wrong side of this one. My arms are too short to slap box with God. Now, I almost said Jesus. They ain't know him yet, but that's the appropriate name to call on. When you find this moment, they beg God to stop speaking, because there was a reverential fear. It was like a blast of a trumpet. The cloud was there, and it was like the whole mountain shook when God spoke. And even when you look in the book of Psalms, it says the mountains melt like wax when he speaks. I think it's important for us to catch this, because the God that we just read about in the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. And this is displaying a level of power that's not just miraculous power. It's displaying a totality of the wholeness and holiness of who God is, that we need to have this in our arsenal. This is good theology. This is a reason. They begged them to stop speaking. Isn't it amazing how in church we get all holy and we're like, God, I just want you to speak to my heart. Holy Spirit, give me a word that would bring me new life. We always want to hear God's voice. But in their case, they said, God, stop speaking. You ever been fussed at so bad by a coach, by a parent? You just said, look, go ahead and give me a whooping or kick me off the team. They're ripping you a new one, like one of them, like, you like Smokey, like in the Debo's pitching coop. Like, just, sorry. How do you get a Friday reference out of Hebrews? Anyway. And so they beg God to stop speaking. So he's showing that's the old covenant. I want you to understand, he's trying to help them understand the privilege that they have to come to God in the new covenant. The old covenant, when you come into the presence of God, you might die. All right, let's keep going. They beg God to stop speaking. Verse 22. Here's the good news. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. Why is the angels in a joyful gathering? Because anytime one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. In verse 23, you have come to the assembly of God, firstborn children whose names are written in heaven, who have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven. He's saying you have joined that cloud of witnesses that I talked about in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews chapter, in the beginning of Hebrews 12. You have joined that cloud of witnesses. And now it says in verse 24, this is why we don't have to be afraid. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. I know that was a lot of scripture reading. Let me break it down to you. Remember God looking at the children of Israel. All they had was their sin, and they thought they might die. But now, come here, Pastor Atwin. Come here real quick. But now what they find is when God looks at them, you'll find, stop right here, brother. And when you find when God looks at them now, and then put your hands up like you're on the cross. You know how to be Jesus. There you go. So now the picture, what happens in verse 24, he says, now you did not come to Mount Sinai, where there was fear and there was just law and there was religion, but you came to Jesus, where there was a relationship. And so when God is looking at you, he's looking at you through Jesus. Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now I'm not coming in condemnation. Now I'm not coming in fear. I'm coming to say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I got an opportunity to come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Thank you, brother. And so what you find in Hebrews chapter 12, the unshakable faith, is that while I was yet a sinner, while I was far off, he drew me near through the blood. That's the unshakable faith. That those who have faith, it says the just shall live by faith. The faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The faith is saying that while I was yet a sinner, there was a man named Jesus who came out of Nazareth, who sacrificed himself, because we knew that the blood of bulls and goats only purified what we did, but the blood of Jesus purified who I am. Therefore, any person in Christ is a new creature, and all things have passed away. All things have passed away. I'm a new creature. I was preaching the other day and I thought about that text, and here's where it hit me. Because when he talks about any person in Christ is a new creature. It's a new creature, not a better version of yourself. Salvation is not a self-help moment. You're not a better version of yourself once you come to Jesus. You are a new you. Old things have passed away. It's the same process as metamorphosis that a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. And when you see a butterfly fly, you don't look at that and say, man, look at that caterpillar fly. Do you? Metamorphosis is not that the caterpillar grew wings. It became a new creature. The unshakable faith makes us new through Jesus. Now that's who you have come to. That's what Hebrews is saying. Let me keep going here. Not only do we have the unshakable faith, but because we have the unshakable faith, this is what he says. This is how we respond in verse 28. He says, since you are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, right? The unshakable kingdom is this unshakable Savior that we have received. Now that you have received this unshakable kingdom, what should you do? Let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Out of all, I'm up here sweating. I'm working hard, y'all. So that you will understand how much Jesus loves you. So you will understand that he bridged the gap. So that you will understand that even when you messed up, there's no condemnation. You mean to tell me I just sinned and he's saying still come? What? There's no condemnation? You know I messed up, and you know I messed up, and you're still helping me out. Your grace is sufficient. Your mercy is new. Wow. When you think about that good news, the proper response, be thankful. Here's the thing. Gratitude would change how you live. Gratitude would change how you give. Gratitude would change how you serve. Gratitude would change how you worship. Don't pay your tithes out of law. Law didn't save you. Pay your tithes out of gratitude. I'm grateful he gave me a job. As a matter of fact, I'm in between jobs. The unemployment check is all right. You know what? 10% is the least I can do. You give offerings out of a place of gratitude. You serve and come here early out of a place of gratitude. The fact that he gave, man. When you got a grateful group of people, you can flip a city upside down. When you got a grateful group of people, worship would take the roof off the building because you're just grateful. Let me keep going. Not only do you have unshakable faith, unshakable gratitude. Here's my last point. Then y'all can go home, have brunch, whatever y'all do here in Hampton. When you look at this unshakable gratitude, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Unshakable worship. When you look at this, he says, be thankful and then please him through worshiping him. Matt Redman, he's a contemporary Christian artist, wrote a lot of songs that we sing to this day. He wrote a book called Unquenchable Worshiper. And he lists out different types of worshipers that are throughout the Bible that we should be as well. He talks about how we should be unquenchable, which means that we only receive our thirst from God. We should be undone. We should be undignified like David. He danced out of his clothes. We should be unpredictable like the woman who broke the alabaster box. We should be unhindered and unstoppable. Unstoppable like the woman who had the issue of blood. She pressed her way through the crowd. And he talks about all these types of worshipers that we should be. And then here's the thing. When he talks about all of these, I want to add one more to that list today. We should be unshakable worshipers as well. The unshakable life is marked by unshakable worship. Unshakable worship. We are focused and we are faithful. This year at our church, there's two things that we've been saying. We are faith-filled and faithful. We're faith-filled, which means we're completely dependent on God. Faith-filled. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. Faith-filled. We want to live a life that's so far out there that when people look at us, they will say, God did it. When people see our marriages restored, God did it. When people see our church, God did it. We are faith-filled because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we also are faithful. Because oftentimes we're dependent on God, but we won't be diligent in the things of God. So this is what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, be thankful, but then honor God through worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Worship, family, is not a song. Worship is not a Sunday morning service alone. Worship is a lifestyle of obedience. Worship is a lifestyle that when people look at you, they can see your unshakable faith. They can see your unshakable gratitude. When they see you deny your flesh, when they see you love your enemies, when they see you live in community, when they see you serve the world, even though the world hates you, that's unshakable worship. But I want to give you this exhortation. In the midst of a shaking world, don't be shaken, but be a shaker. When you talk about somebody being a shaker and a mover, they make things happen. And when I check in scripture, Ephesians 3:20 says, our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask or imagine according to the power that works in you. While we are unshakable, that doesn't mean that when we come in the room, things should not start shaking. Because when we start worshiping and praising God, when you look throughout the Bible, something began to move. Family, I feel something's about to shake in this place. Every time you look in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah, I the prophet, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his throne filled the temple. Then he talked about how the angels and the cherubims, and they were worshiping God back and forth to each other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it says, the posts in the temple, what happened? They shook. Unshakable worshipers. Catch it. Follow me, family. Then not only this, you'll find that they walked around this city for 7 days called Jericho. They didn't say a word. And on the seventh time, he told them, lift up their voice. And when they lifted up their voice, it says that the entire earth shook and the walls of the city came down. When you are an unshakable worshiper, when you open up your mouth, when you open up your life, something has to begin to shake. There are walls right now that's trying to keep you in, that's trying to keep you down. But I dare somebody to lift up their voice in worship. When you look at the walls, let the walls know my worship is bigger than you. Let's go to the New Testament. It says at midnight, these guys was locked up. It says Paul and Silas, they prayed. And when they prayed, it says that the jail shook. They prayed and sang songs. There was no beautiful keyboard. There was no beautiful lights. They were locked up and they began to worship God in the midst of their situation. Now I understand why James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Because when what that heavenly view on the inside of you begins to bubble up, it begins to change the earth. And here's the thing. Not only were they set free, but everybody in their jail was set free because they worship. You got a loved one that didn't come to church this morning, and they're in jail and you're in jail. But in your worship, not only will you be set free, they will be too. There's something shaking. One more. Jesus, he was nailed to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was by his stripes we will be healed. He was betrayed by one of his followers, denied by another one. And here it is. He's been stripped down, beat beyond recognition. They have made a mockery over him. They put over his head, king of the Jews, but they were prophesying, and their prophecy was limited. He wasn't just king of the Jews. He was king of all kings. But while he was on that cross, family, unshakable worship does not allow the situation to hold him down. Because if the pattern is worship is me offering my body to God, the perfect sacrifice was Jesus offering his body for all of us. Are y'all following me? And it says that while he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." The sky got dark. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He told them this was going to happen. Because when he came into the triumphal entry, Lawrence, they told his followers, "Be quiet. Stop saying Hosanna." Jesus' response was this: "If they don't cry out my praise, the rocks will cry out." Do you hear what I'm saying? And so now what happens? It is finished. The sky got dark. He just told them, "If you don't praise me, the rocks will." And what happened? He hung his head and he died. And it says, and the earth shook. And when the earth shook, the veil in the temple was ripped. And everything that separated you from God has now just been removed. That veil could have been your addiction. That veil was your sin. That veil was religion. But then when the earth shook, something happened. Family, I want to invite you. Let's go ahead and make some things shake in our lives. Let us be unshakable worshipers. Let us worship in spirit and in truth. Can we lift up our voice in praise and gratitude unto our unshakable God, to our unshakable King, to our unshakable Savior? Come on, we worship him because he's worthy. We thank him. We are grateful. Come on, come on. We're going to celebrate him on this time. Come on, we celebrate him. Great is your faithfulness, oh God. Great is your mercy, oh Lord. Come on, it's working out for your good. Don't you get tired. Lift up those weary hands. Everything else has been trying to hold you down. But Jesus says if you lift him up, he'll draw you closer. I dare you to worship until your marriage change. Worship until your children come back to the faith. Worship until sobriety hits this city. We worship until something changes all throughout Hampton Roads. We worship so Jesus can reveal his glory. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm waiting for that to catch somebody. Somebody in here trying to hold back because you worry about the person beside you. I dare you to just go ahead and go before the one that's above you. Hands lifted, eyes closed. Come on. Walls are coming down. Come on, strongholds are broken. Prisons are being broken down right now. Come on, every time there was worship and praise in the Bible, it was loud. There was a sound. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. When ODU beat Virginia Tech last night, they were a whole lot louder. And that was a temporary victory. Family, we have an eternal victory. I'm going to push you. I'm going to push you. We don't need to be quiet. We don't need to be silent. Let everything that have breath, let everything that have breath, if you're breathing, let everything that have breath, if you're breathing, offer up the fruit of your lips. We thank you, God. We shout with a voice of triumph. You're a great God. Hallelujah. Come on, put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. While you're worshiping, things are being transformed in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, with the fruit of your lips, just open up your mouth and just extend some worship to Jesus this morning. If you are grateful for your salvation, if you are grateful for a relationship with him, if you are grateful for the second chances that he continues to extend your way, come on, this is a great time just to be able to extend worship and just to open up our mouths. Because of his faithfulness, because of his goodness.